That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
In our all-age services this year, we've been thinking about questions that Jesus asked. And today we want to think about that question that Jesus asked in that story. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Hang on. I wonder what's the worst storm you've ever been in? Has anyone been in a really terrible storm? Or maybe you can, some of you remember the great storm of 1987. Impressive. Impressive. I had to look that one up. Some storm pictures. I wonder if anyone's ever been out in the water in a big storm. That would be pretty scary. Oh, Linda has. The worst storm I think we've been out in the water in, we were in a big car ferry. So it was a big modern boat, not like the one Jesus was in with his disciples. It wasn't really dangerous, but I was really scared. Julian was just very sick, I think, but I was very, very scared. I expect some of you know the story of Jesus and his disciples in a storm that we've just listened to. Mark doesn't give us an awful lot of information. It's quite brief, isn't it, his description? But he does say the day had been a great day. Jesus and his friends were there by the lake and Jesus was teaching. He was telling stories. Everything was going well. It was calm. It was fun. They decide to go across the lake in the boat, and then the storm hits, and the Greek literally says, as Mark writes it, a storm of a great wind, and there are waves smashing into the boat, and the boat is filling up with water, and I imagine it must have been pretty terrifying. I don't know how Jesus' friends would have looked if we could have actually seen that on a video, a real life video, but I imagine they were pretty scared. And if you've seen someone, or if you can think about when you felt scared, perhaps your tummy is sort of lurching, maybe your palms get a bit sweaty. It's hard to think straight, isn't it, when you're filled with fear? Maybe most of us haven't been out on a boat in a storm like that. But I guess most of us have had times in life when we felt a bit like that, when we felt that everything is out of control, when maybe you felt a bit overwhelmed, when everything was just really scary and you felt that you were going to be swamped or even drowned. And if you haven't had times in life like that, that's lovely, but I'm afraid they come, don't they? They will come, because life isn't all plain sailing, and I think most of us know that, don't we? Storms come in life. Relationships break down, we lose somebody we love, health fails or somebody we love, something happens to them, and we feel a bit perhaps like the disciples did that day. Why are you so afraid? Jesus asked. Seems a bit of a strange question, isn't it? We might say, you know, well, why wouldn't they be afraid? Surely they're afraid in the storm. And perhaps another question we might be thinking is, well, how is it that Jesus was sleeping in the boat? How was he sleeping through a storm like that? How did he have peace like that in a storm? What was it that Jesus knew that the disciples didn't know, that perhaps we need to know to have peace in storms of life? And we're just going to think about two things this morning from this story about how not to be afraid in the storms of life, or how to find peace in the storms of life. And here's the first thing. Remember who's in control. Remember who's in control. We often like to think we're in control of things, don't we, of our calendar, of what's happening today and tomorrow. But I guess it's when the storms come that we realise actually perhaps we're not as much in control as we might like to think. We can't control what other people do, can we, and how they react. We can't control our own health or a lot of the circumstances that buffet us and impact us. And in a storm, as we said, it feels like everything is out of control. But although it can feel like that, that's not the case. Was the storm out of Jesus' control? Wasn't, was it? Was it more than he could handle? No. We've been thinking a bit about mums today, haven't we? And of course, I've been thinking a bit about my own mum and how we learn a lot from our mums, good or for better or for worse. I learned a lot of good things from my mum. And one of the most important things I think my mum taught me through what she said and in her life is that when storms come, we can trust God. That was a great lesson to teach. The storm might be powerful, but God is more powerful than the storm. God is more powerful than the storm. Here's a verse from Psalm 103. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. He's on the throne. God is on the throne, and he's in charge. The disciples didn't get everything right in this story, did they? But I think there's one thing they did get right. They called out to Jesus. They knew that they needed him to help them. Don't you care, they said, if we drown? And he did, didn't he? He did help them. He did help them. He did respond when they called. I feel it would be great to have a video of that real event. I'd love to know how Jesus said that, peace, be still. Did he sort of shout it, peace, be still, over the storm? Or was it very quiet, do you think? Peace, be still. I don't know how he said it, but however he said it, his words calmed the storm, didn't they? Because Jesus is God's word. And everything that exists, storms, seas, mountains, was made through Jesus. He's bigger than any storm. And we have a God of miracles who can stop the storm. Sometimes we forget that, don't we, when things are rough, when storms come and are raging. Sometimes it seems that calling out to Jesus is the last thing we do rather than the first thing we do. But he can calm the storm. Do you believe that? I'm not actually going to do that now, but just think about it. I was going to ask people to put their hands up if they've ever been in a storm and they've called out to Jesus and Jesus has calmed that storm. I won't ask you to do that. But I think there'd be a lot of hands up in the room. The first thing we need to know when we're in a storm, the first thing we need to know about storms is that God is bigger. God is more powerful than the storm, and we can call out to Jesus. When I was going through a particular storm of life quite a few years ago, I really liked that song we sung about God rescuing us, picking us up when we fall down. And to be honest with you, I spent a long time crying out to God to rescue me from that particular storm. And he didn't. He didn't take that storm away. And maybe sometimes that's been your experience. Maybe you're even in a storm today where you've called out to Jesus and actually the storm is still raging. The storm is still going. It hasn't stopped. We said a few minutes ago, didn't we, that the first thing we need to know in a storm, or the thing we need to know about storms, is that God is bigger. God is bigger than the storm. But you know, there's something else we need to remember from that story we've been thinking about this evening. No, this morning. Not quite that late yet. And that's that while the storm is raging, Jesus is in the boat. While the storm is raging, Jesus is in the boat. And sometimes the storm is still going. And the question of why sometimes God lets the storm go on is a big one. I'm not going to try to answer it now. When that storm hit me, and it was probably, to be honest, the first real big storm of life that I'd really been in that threw me off balance, I thought that when I called out to Jesus, that storm would stop. I thought that, and I don't know now why he let it go on. Although something I can see is that there were bigger storms to come in life. I don't know why Jesus took his friends across the boat in the storm. Did you notice that in the story? He suggested it. Let's go in the boat to the other side. And he must have known the storm was coming. I don't know. Maybe he had a reason. Maybe it's part of living in a world that is broken by sin, where people hurt each other and creation itself is groaning and things go wrong and bodies get sick. By the way, if it's a question you're really interested in investigating, we're hoping to do that a bit later in the year at another 40th evening to think a bit more about that question. However, I think when we're in the storm, probably debating that question isn't that interesting. I think when they're in the storm, we want to think about how we're going to get through it, how we're going to survive it. When we're in the storm, we need to know that Jesus is in the boat with us. He's not looking down from miles above somehow, from a distance. He's, in a sense, in the boat with us. He knows how we're feeling in that storm. He understands. Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we're in the storm, we need to know that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love in Jesus. Nothing, no storm, nothing at all. As Paul said to the Romans, not height nor depth, anything in creation, nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus. How can that be? Well, partly it's because Jesus walked through a storm that's much bigger than any that you or I will ever go through, that he chose to face the biggest storm for us into the clouds and the anguish of Good Friday and Golgotha and the cross, so that we can have a peace with God. We can have real peace in life, even in the storms. So that we can know that he's with us, not just in the quiet waters and by the green pastures, but also in the valley of the shadow of death. And also so that we can know that, like the disciples, we will make it to the other side. We will make it to the other side. That's a promise of God, that one day there will be no more storms. In fact, there won't even be any sea. There'll be no more pain and no more crying and no more tears. And a very last thought about my mum on Mother's Day. I was thinking of one of her favourite hymns was about that love of God that will not let me go in any storm. And this is the third, it's a very old hymn. Some of you might know it. This is the third verse of that hymn. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. There is the promise of a tearless morning. There is a promise of a love that holds us through the rain and the storm. I rather love that hymn about God's love. I don't know if any of you know anything about it. It was written by a Scottish minister, and he went through some storms of his own. He lost his eyesight, but by the time he was the age of some of you guys in the corner there, he could barely see anything. He was almost blind. When his sister, he wrote this hymn, sorry, very briefly, I'll get quite interested in him. He wrote this hymn, his sister got married, he went to the wedding, it was in Glasgow, and although it was a joyful time, it was also a terribly painful time for him, because he remembered his own fiance, he was going to get married, his fiance had broken up, she said, I can't marry a blind man. And there was, at that time of the wedding, there was an awful lot of pain, an awful lot of sadness, and a lot of loss. But he wrote this wonderful hymn saying that he could hold on. He was trying to hold on to the promises of God. We're not going to sing that as our closing hymn. We've got a slightly more modern one. Although our closing hymn also affirms that in every high and stormy gale, Jesus is Lord. He can be trusted. But before we sing, I thought it'd be nice to listen to a song which affirms some of those wonderful promises. It's called I Will Fear No More. Let's have a look at some of the words before we listen to it. Every anxious thought that steals my breath, it's a heavy load upon my chest as I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold. Help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. Some of us do that, don't we? You're my strength, because I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. Sometimes it's hard in the storm, isn't it, to remember those truths that God is with us, that Jesus is always with us. Perhaps you could keep your boat somewhere to remind you of those great truths, where you'll be able to see that verse. Or I had a great suggestion last week to surround myself more with words like these lovely words of wonderful songs that we've had today to listen to. Because sometimes we find it hard to pray, don't we, when we're in the storm, but to perhaps listen to music that sings God's truths to us is a wonderful thing. And we have each other too. So let's take the opportunity to help and support each other. And may God give us the grace to believe that he can do all things, even to silence the fiercest storm, and the grace to look to him and trust him even when the storm is not stilled or silenced. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.